Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Today's episode is brought to you in collaboration with Boss Dottie. Boss Dottie is a one-woman stationery and gift company celebrating the everyday with fingers crossed. Their playfully illustrated products, inspired by resilient women, perpetual daydreamers, and cautious optimists, are designed and packaged by hand in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, with lots of love and attention to detail. Teresa Behrens is the designer, illustrator, shipper, warehouse manager, and reluctant bookkeeper behind Boss Dottie, a labor of love that would not be possible without pop-in help from a wildly supportive band of family and friends in Brooklyn and Nebraska. Her creative, independent, and resilient grandmother, Dorothy, is Boss Dottie's namesake. See all of their options at bossdottie.com and use code FBC20 for 20% off your order. That's bossdottie.com and the promo code is FBC20. Thank you so much for sponsoring today's episode.
Hello, my friends. How are you guys doing today? It is one of your Feminist Book Club hosts, Emma Ito, pronounced she, her, hers, and I'm excited to be coming at you guys today with a few new-ish releases, so like releases within the last like six-ish months that you might have missed. Put it on your radar, because I have not read every single one of these, but they are certainly on my list to read, and I'm so excited to talk to you guys about them today. First off, I'm going to start with... You know what? It's Nonfiction November. I'm going to start with some nonfiction. And the first couple ones I actually have not read, so they are on my to-read list for this month. And I've heard a lot about them, but unfortunately I feel like there hasn't been tons of buzz on the Bookstagram world. Certainly not speaking to any other social media world. So maybe there has been some buzz about it. But it looks so good. And actually both of these nonfiction picks look really good. But the first one that I'm going to talk about is called The Loneliest Americans by J. Haspian Kang. And Kang is a staff writer for the New York Times opinion page, as well as the New York Times magazine. And I looked it up. I thought this was a memoir, but it actually comes up under history, which I think is really interesting. But essentially, it's the story of him and his family as they moved from post-war Korea to a housing project in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to a college town in the South, which makes me really excited because I am Asian American and I live in the South. I live in Virginia, and I'm a public historian who studies Asian Americans in the South. And there honestly isn't tons written, whether it's fictional or nonfiction, about Asian Americans in the South. I mean, there's certainly some things out there, but there's not a lot. So I'm really, really excited to read this. And he specifically talks about how, and this is a quote from the Flap, like, he recognizes this existential loneliness in himself and in other Asian Americans struggle to locate themselves in the country's racial binary. He tells the stories of shopkeepers who lost their businesses during the LA riots, the parents in New York City who believe that admission to a city's exam entrance schools is the only way out, and the handful of protesters who show up at the Black Lives Matter rallies holding Yellow Peril Supports Black Power signs. So I'm really interested in this story, as well as it says that he touches on immigrant solidarity and specifically the struggles of refugees and the working class. And I think it's going to be really interesting. It also is, especially for a history book, it is not very long. I'm looking at the back here. It looks to be around 240 pages. So maybe a book that slipped your radars and want to let you guys know about it. Another fairly new book that came out that I didn't see as much about it as I would have liked to on social media is Not a Nation of Immigrants, Settler Colonialism, White Supremacy, and a History of Erasure and Exclusion by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. And I have in the past actually talked about Ortiz's An Indigenous People's History of the United States, which is a really excellent book, I thought, in my opinion. And a great history of a lot of pieces that we don't typically learn in a K-12 setting, or that maybe that I didn't, certainly, and I'm a child of the 90s. And I'm really interested in reading this because I study a lot about immigration to the United States, and this is specifically going against this pervasive and self-congratulatory myth that our country is proudly founded by and for immigrants, which, you know, when we think about that, and it's like one of those things for me, it's like a light switch, like, oh, duh, yeah, like when we think about that, like this is stolen land. So Dunbar Ortiz in this book talks a lot about how when we think that way, it's really harmful and dishonest because it's diminishing the U.S.'s history of settler colonialism and genocide and white supremacy and slavery and structural inequality. So that's another one. It came out in August by Beacon Press. So it has been out for a little bit, but I'm definitely excited to pick that one up, especially as we are in Indigenous Peoples Month, which, you know, reminder to always be reading books by Indigenous authors, but particularly in this time. I always think of like Angry Asian Man on Twitter, like in May, which is Asian American Pacific Islander Month. He always tweets like, May is Asian American Pacific Islander Month, and we always celebrate it all year, but May is just like when we turn the volume up. And so like, that's what I feel like should be applied to like any of these like quote unquote months, is like turning the volume up. And so absolutely make sure you're, yeah, you know, always reading diverse authors, especially as we are in Indigenous Peoples Month. And what a great book to start with Not a Nation of Immigrants. Following along the nonfiction thread, as we're in Nonfiction November, another book that I actually just recently finished was Dereka Purnell's Becoming Abolitionists, Police, Protest, and the Pursuit of Freedom. There's like a lot of P's in that title. This actually just came out in October 5th, and I thought it was really great. I read it pretty quickly, and it really dives deeply into Purnell's experiences as a lawyer and a writer and an organizer who initially was very skeptical about police abolition, and kind of her own journey. And it's interwoven within like very real steps to take in thinking of this. And honestly, like this pairs really, really nicely with Kaba's We Do This Till We Free Us, which was one of the best books I've read this year. It came out in February. And I don't know, I think especially for those, as we hear the words abolition, I think sometimes people freeze up when you hear that. And like, maybe there are reasons why that happens, like question why that is. But also it's very helpful to learn what this means. Like, what does abolition actually mean? And especially reading like the fundamental definitions by these like very, very like knowledgeable, smart women, and like trying to learn that is really important. So absolutely, like if you are curious at all about abolition, I highly recommend picking up this new book, Becoming Abolitionists. Also picking up We Do This Till We Free Us. And the thing about, I've brought up We Do This Till We Free Us, you know, I'm sorry if I'm repeating, because I know many of you have probably heard me talk about this book, but the great thing about that one is it's split up in essays. So if you just like want to tackle one little piece of it, you want to understand one little piece of it, you can just read a short essay to try and understand it a little bit deeper. So yeah, highly, highly recommend. I tabbed that book and like have so many tabs for both Becoming Abolitionists and We Do This Till We Free Us. So yeah, don't let that one slip by. Also, the cover is absolutely gorgeous. It is actually a cover of a cop car with these orange leaf-like vines coming out of it. It almost looks like flames, but they're actually leaves and blooming into flowers. So very, very striking image. You know, that actually leads me to thinking of like really beautiful futures. And another book that I feel like kind of stayed under the radar is one that I'm very excited to read. I have not started it yet, but it is within my favorite genre, sci-fi fantasy, and it is Speculative Fiction for Dreamers, a Latinx Anthology. And so this book just came out in September, and it's actually extending from a project that began with Latinx Rising, which came out in 2020, and it's got a number of writers. It is edited by Alex Hernandez, and there are 38 stories by Latinx authors exploring identity through sci-fi and fantasy and magical realism. And I actually just read an older collection called People's Future of the United States, which was speculative fiction from 25 different writers. And that was short stories. It came out in actually 2019. Incredible authors, by the way, on that one, including like a dragon story by N.K. Jemisin. And there's like a story by Charles Yu, Kai Cheng Tom, Daniel Jose Older. Like, there's just like really good authors. So like, I'm really excited to read speculative fiction for dreamers because I think it pairs really nicely with A People's Future of the United States. Like, I've just been really into speculative short stories lately. And yeah, I'm just really excited to start reading this one. And, you know, since I'm in the sci-fi fantasy, you know, genre right now, as I always am, there's actually two books I want to mention. And one is, and I know I say this about a lot of books, but I actually mean this. This is one of the best books I read this year. And that is Iron Widow. Oh my God, I don't know how to explain this book to you. First of all, the cover is absolutely striking. It is an Asian woman in front of these like very red, like phoenix feathers. It's just like totally arresting. And the story is all about this world where mechs essentially are, they're called chrysalises, and they're handled by men. And they're also partnered with concubine pilots, like women, but like throughout the process of like these mechas working, like the women are almost always killed through this process, through a psychic link between these pilots. And so this 18-year-old woman offers herself up as a concubine pilot to purposely assassinate the male pilot that was responsible for her sister's death. And as she like goes into this world, she somehow, and like, I'm not giving any spoilers away, this is like in the description, but she kills this male pilot through the psychic link and emerges unscathed, which is very never happens supposedly. And she is then labeled an Iron Widow, which is a very like known, feared, you know, scary thing, especially to this disturbance of society that like runs off of these male pilots, like quote unquote saving the world. And yeah, she pairs up with this male pilot who's like infamously known and very controversial. And she is, you know what, actually, you know, I'm not gonna say what happens. Some crazy stuff happens, some wild stuff happens, and it is quite the journey. There are a lot of things I would caution as far as content warnings. So this is like an interesting piece, and I'd love to like have a conversation with one of y'all about this at some point. This is slotted as a YA, like a teen book, but actually I don't like the way that like so many things are slotted YA now, because I feel like it's just like for anyone, like there's some really heavy shit that this book deals with. And like, there's a lot of books that are slotted YA that like, I don't know if they really belong there. Like, I think certainly like young adults can come to it and get something out of it, but I also think adults can. And I worry sometimes that like that label keeps like older folks away from it. So I don't know. All right. It's a little bit of a tangent. So I'm interested to see what you guys think of that. But yeah, anyway, really powerful, wonderful, amazing story. I was totally, totally enthralled. It came out at the end of September. And my only regret is that I didn't read it the minute it came out. And just like, wow, absolutely in love with it. Definitely queer characters in there. Some poly relationships, which is fucking awesome. That's so good, you guys. Okay. So following that up with another great sci-fi fantasy that I read that came out at the end of September from Tor Books is Raika Aoki's Light from Uncommon Stars. So this is absolutely a book that I would suggest to folks that are Neil Gaiman fans, because like the whole vibe like is super Neil Gaiman vibes, but like, oh my God, so good. So basically the story is about a person named Shizuka Satomi who makes this deal with a devil, and she has to entice 7 violin prodigies to trade their souls for success. She's already delivered 6, and then she's looking for her 7th, essentially. And she eventually meets Katrina Nguyen, who is a young transgender runaway. And she starts playing violin in front of Shizuka. And it's just like, oh my God, she's incredible. And Shizuka is like, this is the final candidate. This is it. And at the same time, she meets this woman, Lan Chan, who is a retired starship captain and an interstellar refugee, and has brought her family to Earth, to this planet, and runs a donut shop. So, like, there's so much going on in this. Like, it sounds so, like, so many puzzle pieces, right? Like, a demon, like, puzzle piece. And space, like, an interstellar runaway. And also, like, a person, like, trying to, like, a young transgender runaway who's, like, trying to find her way through life. And all of these pieces so perfectly fit together. Like, Aoki does such a good job of putting these pieces together. And all of their lives, you know, become entangled, and it's just magic, and, like, so good. Also, I love reading books that, you know, have a music aspect to it. And so, like, you don't have to know, like, any classical music, but it's kind of cool because they do mention, like, this part had, like, a note that's kind of like this musician, which was, I thought it was really cool. The other thing I absolutely love about Katrina, who is the young runaway who is amazing at violin, she plays a lot of gamer music, which I think is fucking awesome. Like, I wish she was real so I could listen to her music. Like, I love the idea of, like, classical gamer music. I don't know. It's just so cool to me. So, yeah, that's another one. And last but not least, a book that comes... Okay, just came out November 2nd. And for once, it is not one that will make you totally bawl. So I do feel like I make a lot of suggestions about books, and usually they are, like, very heavy or dealing with very heavy things, or they're very sad. And I mean, they're very powerful, but, like, sometimes you just, like, need something light and, like, I don't know, just, like, super chill. So I want to tell you guys about Shion Miura's The Easy Life in Kamisari. And so this book actually came out a while ago, but it was just translated to English. This is a Japanese literature book, and it's the chillest book. Like, essentially, this book is about a boy who just got out of high school. His name's Yuki Hirano, and his parents enroll him against his will into a forestry training program in a remote mountain village. Like, literally, like, super remote. Like, there's no phone, there's no internet. It's just, like, a really small community where everyone knows everyone. And, like, the common expression that's used is, like, to take it easy. And it is the chillest. This book is about Yuki and how he kind of fumbles with life, like, especially after getting out of high school. And learning forestry, which, like, some of that part, I never thought that I would think forestry is so cool, but, like, the way that it's written about is just so interesting. Like, thinking about how tree farms work. He's working on, like, a place that grows trees, and the physical work that it entails to, like, climb the tree and, like, cut dead branches off, make sure that you're cutting, like, thinning out the top so that, like, storms don't push it up. All these, like, detailed things that sound like, I don't know, maybe it sounds boring to you. I never thought that I'd be interested in it. And then as I was reading it, it's just like, wow, this is, like, really interesting. Like, learning how to, like, fell trees, like, and plant saplings. And basically, like, Yuki learns to do that. And he also, like, learns about the legends of the mountain. And there's, like, some really cool just, like, spiritual pieces to that that's, like, almost like magical realism, but not quite. And I don't know, it's just, like, a very short, delightful book. And you're just reading about a boy and a, you know, mythical mountain forest. So highly, highly recommend if you've somehow missed that one as well. I do want to give this one a shout out because I got a push email from Bookshop today that it came out today on November 9th as I'm recording, and I have not read this, but it is absolutely on my to read list because this book apparently is fucking weird as shit, and, like, I love weird books. So the name is Slug and Other Stories by Megan Milks, and I think, like, I've heard that it's, like, a contemporary cult classic, which I actually never heard of it before. So this is the revised and expanded edition that just came out, just back in print. And full disclosure, like I said, I have not read it. Full disclosure, like I have heard it's really weird. But what the description talks about is that it says that a woman metamorphoses into a giant slug. Another quite literally eats her heart out. A wasp falls in love with an orchid and hair starts sprouting from the walls. Like, it's talking about body horror to choose your own adventure, like video games to fan fiction, characters going through changes in gender, physiology, species, and identity. All, like, love that. And literally, like, the last kind of description line in there says that this collection is a testament to the messy anti-logic of queer feelings. So, you know, maybe you've already read this. And if you have, like, I'd love to hear what you think about it. This author also was born in Virginia, which, like, I am in Virginia. So I'm always like, yes, like, that's awesome. Representing my state. If you have that, have read this one, or, like, you've heard about it, let me know. Because, like, I'm late to the party here. But yeah, so just a few books that, you know, to put on your radar. And, you know, all these that I'm talking about, I'll put in the show notes. They're fairly new. And if you pick any of them up, please let me know what you think, especially Iron Widow. Please talk to me about Iron Widow. I want to know everything that you think. And I'm gonna suggest this too. I know that Renee and I have done a talk on Poppy Wars. And so I think that if you like Poppy Wars, you will probably like Iron Widow. It's got some cool, like, anti-hero stuff in it, which, like, is always, I don't know. Anti-hero books are just really interesting to me. So also, like, if you have other anti-hero book suggestions, like, let me know. I feel like there's not tons of really, maybe I'm just not thinking of any right now. You know, let me know if you have some suggestions. All right, guys. So this is your reminder to hydrate and take care of yourselves as best you can. And I will talk to you guys soon. I hope you have a wonderful night, a wonderful evening. Make sure that you're taking vitamin D, especially as we have daylight savings and it's super dark. I'm recording this at like 5 o'clock and it's dark as shit outside. So, you know, take care of yourselves and I'll talk to you guys soon. All right, bye.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.